This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this third Sunday in Advent. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
If your house guests this Christmas should ask, how much of the Christmas story do you really believe? How would you answer him? That's pretty important in this day when we talk so much about religion, considering all the other faiths that are round about us. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, you who came to this earth to be the Savior of all mankind, we pray that you will invade our hearts these days and that we may understand, not only intellectually, but experientially, what it is to sing, Jesus the Savior is born, Jesus the Savior is born. Bless us this half hour and grant that we may be drawn closer to you through your holy word. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home. Take her home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name of Jesus. Here ends the reading of the gospel. Friends in Christ, as our world grows smaller and we are brought into closer relationships with people of other religions, the question, who is Jesus, becomes more important for Christians to answer than perhaps ever. My grandfather and grandmother and yours did not have to wrestle with that question as their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren have to do today. Why is that? Because in their day, their friends and their neighbors had come, for the most part, from Western Europe, where the Christian church was predominant. Today, that is not necessarily true. They're coming from lands where other kinds of religions are very active, and people think quite differently. Today, your next-door neighbor, your doctor, your boss at the factory, your child's teacher might be a Muslim. I remember in my day, and I'm sure this rings a bell for many of you, Catholic parents worried that their children would marry Protestants. And Protestant parents worried about their children marrying Catholics. Today, this has changed just a little bit. Today, we are worried that our children might marry Hindus, or Buddhists, or Muslims. And I'm sure that the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Hindus are worried that their children will marry Christians. You see, the world has changed. And we don't have very much in common when it comes to Jesus Christ with some of these religions. So we approach Christmas with this idea that it is necessary for us who are Christians to once more be clear on who Jesus is, for their own salvation, for our salvation, and for our witness to others who are not Christians. Who is Christ? That's my theme today. And we need to know who he really is and be able to give a loving and a kind but very forceful testimony to those of our friends and relatives who do not believe that Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. During these next four Sundays, it will take us into the new year. I'd like to center our thoughts on who is he? That's today. Why did he come to earth? That's next week. Where was he born historically and personally? The week after that. And finally, are you enjoying the blessing he alone can give you? The first of these questions then today, who is he? 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote this: the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. When Mary was told she would give birth to a child, she had to ask the angel the question, how can this be? I am a virgin. And the angel said to her, that which is conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit. It's a mystery, And that's why it is so important that we emphasize that to those who are outside of Jesus Christ, and how necessary it is for us to understand it better if we are a Christian. This is revelation. God has revealed to us beyond the human mind that in the fullness of time, He came into this world to be the Savior of all who would listen. Well, Mary didn't get the pronounced visits from the angel that perhaps she would like to have had and got all of her questions answered. But having heard from the angel that she was going to give birth to this child, she finally said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as God wants it to be." Now, while she was being told that she was going to have a child, her fiancé, the one with whom she was about to be married in a little while, his name was Joseph. He ran a carpenter shop. He got the news that Mary was with child. The angel came to him in a dream, and he said, "Joseph, don't divorce her." You see, that's what they could have done in those days. If Mary had illegitimately become pregnant, then Joseph could have even had her stoned, according to the scriptures. But he decided, no, I love her too much for that. And so it was his decision to simply divorce her and close the whole relationship. It was then at that time that the angel again came back and said, "Joseph, don't try to divorce her. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You are to call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And then it says, "All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the prophets. The virgin shall be with a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." Exactly what Isaiah had written 700 years ago. His name shall be called Emmanuel. And this is the point today, friend. Who is he? Jesus Christ is God. And he has come into this world to be our Savior, to bring us back into harmony and fellowship with God Almighty, that there we might live and die in peace. What did Jesus say when he came 30 years later? Did he deny that which had been prophesied regarding him? Not at all. He affirmed it. For example, perhaps you recall that great story where Jesus is talking to the people about his going on and he's coming back to bring them to heaven with him, those who trusted in him. And he said, you recall, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Then there's a break in the text, it seems, and then one by the name of Philip said, "Show us the Father." And Jesus turned to Philip and said, "Have I been with you for such a long time, and you ask me to show you the Father?" Then notice this. This is Jesus. He's 33 years old now. "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." And a little bit later he says, "I and the Father are one." That's why the Jews wanted to stone him. They didn't mind that he went around healing the sick and proclaiming these great sermons, but they did not want a common, ordinary man to say that he is God and to say that he is a Messiah when he did not seem to measure up to the kind of a Messiah that they really wanted to have. But Jesus Christ turns around and he says, "I am God. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one." Many people in our day can accept Jesus as a good man who has done great things. And they say it's a good thing that he has been here. The world is better off for it. He has impressed us. He has encouraged us to care for the sick and the poor and the elderly and all of those who are in need. But Jesus is also here for something far more important than that, important as it is. Now, let me use an illustration, and I don't want to be misunderstood. I belong to a service club. I have belonged to that service club for 50 years. I appreciate going to that service club. I enjoy the things that they do. They've had some tremendous projects, and they continue to have them. Only at our last meeting, we were told about how in certain sections of Africa, the people, the children, were dying. And the cause for their death was impure water. Well, this service club, internationally, of course, understood this, and they said, we will have to do something about it. So what did they do? They went into that African community, got the water cleared up, and now the children don't die of impure water. That's a great work. That's a good deed. That would be Christ-pleasing. Jesus would certainly say, amen, yes, sir, you do that. On another occasion, they blotted out polio in the third world, if not completely, then in most of it. Went into the innermost parts of some of the underdeveloped countries and gave those shots, and these little children no longer had to worry about polio. Hunger. The program that they were discussing with the club the other day was how they had alleviated hunger in certain parts of the world. You can ask the question, well, isn't this what the church does? Yes, it is what the church does. There's only one thing that is different about it. And this one exception makes it necessary for the church to continue to be faithful to its proclamation. When the church comes and gives clean water and food and takes care of sickness and disease with our hospitals and things like that, they come not only to minister to the body of the people, but they come to answer the question, who is this Christ who sends us? He is God. And the missionary comes and he says, I come to you to heal your bodies. But I come in the name of Jesus Christ. I come to offer you not only bread for your body, but I come to offer you bread for your soul. I come not only to purify your water, important as that is, and we're not minimizing it, but I come to give you the water of life. I come to give you the forgiveness of sins. I come to tell you that in me, if you trust in me, then I am yours forevermore. Well, we struggle with it, and so have our fathers. It is not an easy subject to deal with, but the Christmas season is certainly one where we have to take some of these great old teachings of the faith and really understand what our fathers were trying to tell us from the Scriptures. When the early church had to summarize what they were teaching, they came forth with the Apostles' Creed. When Constantine wanted to know what was the real essence of the Christian faith, they came forth with the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. And in these creeds, you can see how the fathers struggled to say this in the best way that they possibly could say it. And so every Sunday morning in some of our churches, as a part of our worship, we say, and we believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Notice those words, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. We want to confess what we believe. We want to confess who Jesus Christ is. And it's on the basis of this that we continue to do the work that Christ has taught us to do. We live in this crowded old world. We live in a world where people who are a little bit different than what our fathers and our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers were. And we grow to like them, and they give us some fine insights into living. It is not that we have any animosity against them. It is not that we do not give them the right to their own religion. It is not that we do not respect them. but it is that we can under no conditions compromise and take Jesus Christ out of where the Scriptures put him. What is he? He is God. God who has come into this world to walk on this earth for 33 years, to suffer, to die as a payment for the sins of the world. And it is through him that you and I have that peace which passes all understanding. Well, here I think we can go back to Joseph. Joseph, as far as I can see, is really a good example. He didn't understand it. He didn't understand it any more than you and I did. How could it be? And then it was that after the angel had finished bringing him the revelation, he said, okay. And Joseph woke up, and he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, and he gave him the name Jesus. My friend, not long ago, I heard an excellent sermon on knowledge. There is such a thing as academic knowledge, and then there is experiential knowledge. I can learn about Jesus. I can learn that he has come into this world and that he is God, and really not have it affect my life. But when that academic knowledge is taken by the Holy Spirit and it is made experiential knowledge, then things are different. Then I stand with the Savior, who has invaded my life and who has made me a different person. In this first sermon that begins to prepare us for Christmas, would you really take time to ask yourself, who is Jesus in my life? And is it that I simply know him academically? That is a lesson, a story lesson that I have learned? Or is Jesus Christ truly the one whom I have experienced, with whom I have many experiences every day? He is the one who is able to walk with me when the going is so terribly rough, and know that everything is going to be all right. That's what he wants, and that's why he has come. And that's what Christmas is all about. So if a friend should ask you, your boss, one that you play with, one that you go to school with, how much of this Christian message around Christmas can you take? I hope that the church, far and near, will cry out with solid convictions, I take it all. I take it all that he came, the Son of God, to be my Savior, and through him I have life, and I have it eternally. May you have a good Advent season. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to birth for me. But in Oh,
Father in heaven, the busy season is upon us, and all of our plans are being made. Grant, O God, that in the midst of all of this, we may be quiet, and we may sit there and ponder this great message as the millions of people have pondered it through the years, that overwhelming thought that God was in Christ and he walked on this earth. Walked on this earth where people continue to walk today. Walked on this earth in order that he might suffer and die as a payment for the sins of the world. Then, Lord, we know that you will warm our hearts and we'll reach out to other people with some of the necessities for their physical life. But we will say to them, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, for he alone can give you life everlasting. Father, we pray for those who are sick, sorrowing, wondering what happens next, that they may find their peace in Jesus. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message has brought you peace and joy in this busy Advent season. May your heart be touched by the grace that is ours through the Babe of Bethlehem, Christ Jesus our Lord. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is supported by the gifts of our listeners. As the year comes to a close, we remind you that your gift to Christian Crusaders is tax deductible. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. We thank you for your prayers as well as your financial support. Today's service is also available to be read or heard on the internet. Our website also has many other spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit our website at ChristianCrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.